Hey you guys, my name is Jeremiah Taylor. Welcome to the TaylorMade Beauty Podcast, where I show you how to grow as an influencer and or brand. It's as simple as that. Today I'm joined by Alicia Scott, CEO of Range Beauty. Range Beauty is a company that radiates inclusivity and mindfulness, and Alicia describes it as a line for the forgotten shades that saves bank accounts and prevents breakouts. I had the incredible pleasure of talking to Alicia for some time yesterday, and I got so much insight from her and so much value that I know you guys will get from this interview as well. We touch on, you know, how to create a product from start to finish, and also from an influencer standpoint, we talk about, you know, what she is looking for when she's looking to partner with influencers. And I know you guys are going to get so much value from this. So thank you again, Alicia, for being on, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So the audio kind of cut out in the beginning, but Alicia just started with her origin story and how she actually lived in the Middle East for a few years of her life.
And then kind of bounced around to different jobs, which actually took us overseas. So I lived in the Middle East for about 6 years. And then I returned to the U.S. and I went to Virginia Tech for fashion. I always loved fashion. I wanted to work in the industry. After I graduated, I moved back to New York and worked for an Australian showroom, traveling around and meeting with different buyers for like Barney's, Nordstrom's, and showing them my lines while also operating different fashion shows and photo shoots. And that was what kind of like struck me and made me take a look at myself as well. But while working on these photo shoots and doing these runway shows, a lot of the times the black model would come either with their makeup in hand or they would ask us beforehand if they could have their makeup done before they arrived so they didn't have to deal with the makeup artist.
Okay.
Or the makeup artist would, it was seemingly like they would rush through the black model spaces, yeah. But they would take special time with like the fair skin models because they were easier to handle.
Okay.
And so that really made me look at my own personal beauty collection as well, and I noticed how lacking and limited it was. Mm-hmm. And this all really like spiraled me down that hole of like, why is the industry like this and what can I do to make it better?
Okay, awesome. So you have this idea, you know, you want to create an inclusive, you know, line of products. Where do you begin? Like, how does someone begin creating cosmetics? Like, I don't even know, like, do you go to a chemist? Like, how do you start with that? Like, what's your first step?
So my first step was looking at my personal problem.
Okay.
So I looked at the personal problem that I was trying to solve, and I realized that I couldn't have been the only person suffering from this issue. So being a woman of color, it was difficult for me to find shades that were appropriate for my skin tone and for my undertone. And then I also have extremely sensitive skin. So it was difficult for me to find these shades made for my skin tone, and then also these products that didn't contain certain skin irritants.
Mm-hmm.
So like I cannot use products that have talc because it causes me to break out severely. I can't use products that have fragrance in them. And then I wanted it to be affordable. I was living on a New York budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just, even now, I just can't justify spending like $35 plus on something that's such a basic item to me.
Mm-hmm.
So those were the problems that I've had, and I started looking at how I could get the solutions. So I was like, okay, well, I need this product to be all natural. So when I was looking at manufacturers, I was researching on a scope of, I want them to be natural manufacturers that were located in the U.S., that did not use chemicals and did not test on animals. So cruelty-free, all-natural in the U.S. And then I needed them to have base ingredients that allowed me to go into a wide shade range. And then because I was starting so young and early on and using my own funds, I needed to ensure that the manufacturer had low minimums. So I couldn't go to someone who said, oh, your minimum order needs to be 500 units of this one color.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, the company that I found, for you to start off, your order just had to be a minimum of $150. And with that $150, I was able to get so much to experiment with.
Awesome. Okay, so when you talk about manufacturers and, you know, being able to afford like testing the product, are these manufacturers like in China, or since they're cheaper, are they closer to home? Like, are they in the United States? Like,
yes. So all of my manufacturers are located in the U.S. That was really important to me, just because I wanted to make sure if there was ever an issue that I had quick access to get to the manufacturer or the company to see what needed to be worked out and to take a tour for my own personal diligence. And then the other part of that was I wanted lead time to be really short. So lead time being from the time I requested a certain product, I wanted the time of arrival to me to be very quick. So my lead time with my manufacturer is 2 days, and if I need it, it can be overnighted.
Oh, that's awesome.
Without making a huge dent in my pocket, versus if I worked with someone who was located in India or China, that's really not feasible.
Okay, awesome. So I was watching a few reviews of the foundation, and I saw in the comments that that you recently revamped. Is that accurate?
Yes, so I launched last May. I actually came up with the concept back in 2015. So I spent really 2 years doing research and development and personal trial and error, testing products on myself, having my friends and family test out products and give me feedback before I actually went to market, which I think is very important.
You were testing.
So I didn't launch until last May, so May 2017. And I launched under the name and the concept that I came up with back in 2015, and it just didn't fit where I was anymore. Okay. And so this year I went a huge rebranding and overhaul, and so we went from Skinny Dip Cosmetics into Range Beauty.
Okay, cool. Did the manufacturer have anything to do with the revamping, like, or have you stuck with one manufacturer since the beginning?
Yes, so I've been fortunate to just stick with one manufacturer. I still have the same graphic design artist, the same packaging company. I feel like if you build really solid relationships with these companies on the front end, they give you wiggle room when you need help with certain areas. Like a box company that I work with, they typically have minimums, but once I explain the situation, they were able to be more flexible with me, and I've given them great business, and I've been able to refer other people to them. So I feel like it's important to, not that there's anything wrong with switching it up and going to new people, but I believe in if something is working, like, stick with it and be committed to it and maintain those relationships.
Okay, cool. So a lot of people have ideas, you know, we all have so many good ideas. Everyone thinks they thought of Uber first, but what separates you from the people who just like dream and like, you know, they plan, but they never execute. So like, what were the first steps that you took to make sure that your idea wasn't just an idea and it would, you know, become actualized?
It really hit me that I was actually solving, the biggest thing in business is make sure whatever they're making is a solution to a problem. And it's okay if the problem has been solved previously, but whatever solution you're bringing, make it different from the other solutions. And so it struck me when I was going to my local drugstores and trying to search for these brands, and I was asking and reading all of these articles that were like, why is the makeup industry missing the mark on people of color? And it was seeing that so many times that it made me say, let me stop asking this question and let me stop waiting for a solution to be made and let me be proactive. And usually if you see a problem for yourself, it's typical that you're not the only one going through it, right?
Exactly.
So I realized that I wasn't alone in this, and that's what really motivated me and pushed me to keep going. And I think a lot of times people either find themselves in the mentality of, oh, well, it's already being done, so what else can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you have to think bread aisle mentality. Like, yes, bread was created, but go into the bread aisle and there are so many other different brands and types of bread, like, and they're still being made. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? It's like the possibilities are really endless if you commit to it and you execute it well.
Exactly. I love that. So what were, this is only your second year in business, right?
So this is my first year still. First year. So it's a little over a year. My anniversary was May of this year.
Okay, so what were some of the first, like, big challenges that maybe you thought, like, you couldn't get over? Or was that not, like, a thought? Like, you just always knew you would get through it? Or what were some, like, the first, like, roadblocks that you ran into?
So a major roadblock that I ran into was actually a personal roadblock. And that was wanting to make sure that everything was perfect before I went to market. Okay. And there's just no such thing as perfect, like, you can't have the perfect closet, perfect boyfriend. You just, it's just not going to happen. Yeah. And so the same applies to business. And I believe if I could go back, I would definitely not try to be so perfect. Like, I wanted my label to be perfect. I wanted my bottom, my website. I wanted everything to just be as if I'd been in business for 10 years. And that's just not feasible starting off. And so my biggest roadblock was understanding the difference between perfection and professionalism. Like, it's okay for you to want your product to be nice and clean and professional, or your website to be that. But if you keep trying to make it perfect, then you're never going to launch. So that was definitely a huge hurdle for me. And then the next hurdle was definitely thinking, like, I need to come out the gate like Maybelline. I need to have lipsticks. I need to have foundations. And it was just like, girl, whose money? How are you doing this? Exactly. So I really had to get myself to focus and say, okay, this is, I know foundation is a huge thing for me. I love BB cream, but that's a huge thing for me. I love primer, but a lot of primer contains chemicals I can't use. So those are my three major products that I needed to narrow myself down on and focus. And then another major one was feeling like, well, I'm not an entrepreneur if I keep my full-time job. I need to be all in or it's going to fail. And that is absolutely not true. Like, if you have a good full-time job and it's paying you well, you just need to make sure that you're using those funds, that paycheck that comes in, instead of spending it on bottomless brunch every weekend, like, put it towards your business and put it towards your goals and your dreams. And when you're coming home and your dog tired after a long day of work, like, still pick yourself up and motivate yourself, because in the end it's going to be so much worth it that you use that extra time and those extra funds to get you to where you want to be.
Awesome. I love that. So what's something that keeps you motivated? Is it, just trying to be the product that isn't there, you know, being the, the voice for the unspoken is...
Yeah, that definitely keeps me motivated. I love the feedback and the comments that I see when customers are telling me, like, you don't understand how difficult it has been for me to find a shape, and I don't understand, it made me feel like I wasn't important. And it's like, it really goes beyond skin deep. It's just a feeling of not being included and not feeling like you're worth something that I think is really a basic item that you should be able to go out to your store and pick up for yourself. You know, like, all these different shades have been here since the beginning. It's not like these shades of people just arrived yesterday and now people are trying to keep up with it, you know?
Exactly.
And so that definitely keeps me motivated when I hear people say that it's definitely helping them and they're so happy. That's a huge motivation. And then the second is just being in business for myself. There's nothing like being in business for yourself and being your own boss and working towards your own goals versus clocking in every day for the rest of your life working towards someone else's goals. Yeah. I think that's so important.
Totally agree. Yeah, I think in this day and age, you know, that's everyone's goal, to be able to do what they want on their own terms.
Exactly.
So it's more on the business side. How have you gotten your product out there? Like, what are some tools that you use for marketing? Like, is it influencer marketing? Is it Facebook ads? What's your strategy right now?
So in this day and age, I feel like if you're not working with influencers, you're probably going to struggle. Mm-hmm. So that's my huge, huge area that I focus on. And my vision isn't just to like, oh, I want to get it out to this influencer because they have a lot of followers. Mm-hmm. My goal when I find influencers and when I reach out to them, it's because I believe in their mission and I feel their mission aligns with the mission of my company. And it's like, okay, if you want to use this product for personal use, perfect. If you want to use this product and actually review it on your page, perfect as well. And I feel like it's really important to have a genuine connection with these influencers, especially influencers of color, because I feel like those relationships are really lacking because there aren't a lot of companies that are targeting them and genuinely want to make something for them. So that's my main focus, is influencer marketing on social media, mainly on Instagram. And it's helped a lot. We're in the day and age where people like to see reviews of it by influencers. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I trust you and I believe your review. So now I'm going to go and put my money towards something. So that has definitely been where most of my marketing funds have gone.
Okay, so as far as the actual influencer, are you looking for, like, I know you said you're not looking for numbers, so are you targeting more, like, niche influencers who have, like, you know, someone, for example, like Nima Tang, who has, you know, a large audience of darker complexion, you know, subscribers?
Yes, exactly. So one of our first major influencers is Coco Swatches.
Okay.
And her whole mission of digging through like high, like low to high, mm-hmm. searching under every rock for foundation, bronzer, BB cream, everything like that, to bring it to brown skin women is so amazing to me. And she was one of the, like, she was on my goal list to work on, and I'm so happy that she liked our brand. And then just as you mentioned, like, I like to look for influencers who I can clearly see that this is their defined mission, because they see that there's a huge gap. And Elle Magazine did this article, I think it was February of this year, and they interviewed 8 influencers of color. And the main theme from them was, we don't have companies that genuinely care and want to create a product for us. We see a lot of companies that are trying to respond to what they think is trendy. And so that's what's really important to me, is establishing those relationships with influencers who are like that, who truly want to be a part of a brand and their bigger mission.
Awesome. Okay, so just a few more questions.
Okay.
So for someone starting out, what is one piece of advice for, you know, a business owner who wants to create their own business, you know, start something? What is something that you can give to them that you know now that you didn't know in the beginning that would help them out?
My biggest piece of advice is definitely figuring out if this is something that is a hobby or if this is something that is a business, because there is a huge difference between that. And I talk about that with my friends a lot, because your mentality and your drive and your motivation is completely different. You might like making jewelry, or you might like making lipstick, but you don't see yourself doing it every day. You don't see yourself grinding until the sun comes up doing it. And so I think that's really crucial for you to be realistic with yourself and understand the hard work and dedication that has to go into making something a business versus how lackadaisical it could be if it's just a hobby.
Are you in the lab, like, creating the products, or, like, how does that work? Like,
yes, I am mixing it up because I'm so into undertones, mm-hmm. and I feel like it's so forgotten when it comes to women of color, people of color, that a black man or a black woman can be very dark and still have a warm yellow undertone. Mm-hmm. And it's so odd to me that sometimes cosmetics companies miss the mark on that. Like, they're just like, okay, so you just want darker shades. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, no. And then it's like, well, we need more undertones. Okay, so here's a brown with a really red orange undertone. Mm-hmm. That'll fit everyone. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, well, no. So that's why it's really important to me when I say the forgotten shades, because It's shades that I don't see a lot, along with undertones that I don't see a lot of attention paid to as well.
So I saw on your site you have a very wide range of shades. Do you find it more difficult to make darker shades, or like, is it the same? Like, why don't bigger brands, you know, get it? Why can't they get it right?
Right. And the crazy thing is, when I first spent my first $150 with the manufacturer and I got my sample kit of shades, and the facts that I sat and was being my little, you know, little kitchen chemist, and I was able to develop all of these different brown shades within a day, it did not make sense
That's
to
awesome.
Me why these cosmetic giants weren't able to do it. So once I was able to do that, I was like, there should be no excuse. And I found the real reason is because I am a woman of color. I'm a nice deep brown shade. So I'm like, okay, you know, I look around at my friends, I look around at my family members, and I think about them when I'm creating. And I'm thinking of the cosmetic giants that are predominantly white male owned. They have no idea what type of team they should have, you know? And it's like, if you probably would take the step to bring more people of color onto the team so that they are making it for us, by us, they would probably, you know, be ahead of the game. And then the other issue I saw was that these cosmetic giants were saying, well, we didn't see sell-through on those shades. And after doing my research, it's like, you didn't see sell-through on those shades because you didn't put those shades on the shelf. So, of course, you're seeing ivory and, you know, those type of shades having high sell-through. So you're just going to duplicate that, and your neighboring cosmetic competitor is going to duplicate that as well. So at the end of the day, they really do not have an excuse. If I was able to do it with $150 in my Brooklyn kitchen, okay, y'all can do it.
That's so interesting. Like, you know, when we saw like the Tarte Foundation, like all that's that whole scandal, and then you know, there's just countless of, you know, just bigger brands just ignoring people of color, and to hear that it's the same process is just like kind of frustrating. But
yeah, it makes it more to the forefront that it's like, okay, your reason is simply because you don't care to participate in that market segment, which is mind-boggling, because African Americans make up the largest buying power in the beauty industry. So it's so interesting.
It is interesting. I didn't know that.
Want to make products for us. And I think it's just so crazy. You know, I think it's amazing that Rihanna used her platform the way she did for Fenty Beauty. You know, obviously there have been other lines out, Iman Cosmetics, Milani, that do target people of color, but they just didn't have the platform Rihanna had. But it just was so interesting that she released these shades, and then people, these cosmetic companies, saw the sell-through on these shades, and they were like, oh my God, black people buy makeup? That's crazy. And it's just so beyond me, and I just need them to pick up the pace.
That is funny. Well, thank you so much for this. What is next for Range Beauty? What can we expect? What's coming next?
So the next big step, obviously from the name being Range Beauty, is I want to expand, obviously, into other color cosmetics. I think another thing when it comes to beauty industry for people of color, of course, foundation and concealer, those are major hitters for us that we're seeing the mark miss on, but it goes beyond that into bronzers, into eyeshadows, into blush, etc., that's made for our skin color and also made with natural ingredients. So I want to expand in that direction. And then the next step is expanding into multicultural skincare at an affordable price point, again, using natural ingredients. And then beyond that, like, talking 5-year plan, is to have a Range Beauty brick and mortar retail store, so that you hopefully will be in drugstores, of course, but with the brick and mortar, you'll never have to worry about us not having certain shades or certain products, because we'll be all encompassing versus, you know, drugstores can be limiting. So those are definitely the next future moves for us.
Well, that is awesome. I can't wait to shop in stores. So where can the listeners follow you? Where can they keep up to date with all of these new and exciting things?
Yes, so please follow us on Instagram. It's range_beauty. And then we are also on Twitter and Facebook, and that's just Range Beauty, one word. And then we also have a newsletter that you can subscribe to through our website, rangebeauty.com.
Awesome. Well, I will leave all those links in the description below. Thank you again, Alicia, for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much. This is so fun.
Thank you. And I will talk to you later. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Alicia was so much fun, and she had so much energy, and I really enjoyed talking to her. So thank you again, Alicia. I really appreciate it. But if you guys want to find out anything about her brand or herself in general, I will leave everything down in the description below, so make sure you check that out. I actually just purchased the foundation, so make sure you guys follow me on Instagram at Jeremiah Taylor, Faces by Jer. I'll link everything below so you guys can get a review on the foundation. I love you guys. Thank you for watching, and have a great rest of your day.